So if you're one of the thousands of people right now dreaming about, a tropical property investment, maybe a permanent change of scenery, or just the ultimate luxury holiday, you've probably zoomed in on Phuket. But here is the fundamental truth, and it's one that often trips people up. Phuket. It's not just one place. It's really a dynamic island split into two completely different worlds, the north and the south.
It really is. It's the difference between seeking a remote, peaceful paradise and, on the other hand, demanding constant, immediate access to, global level action.
Right.
And deciding where to plant your flag, whether that's figuratively for a vacation or, literally for an investment, it means choosing between two very distinct ecosystems.
And to guide us on this, we've really dug into our sources. Today, we're pulling a lot of market intelligence from Ocean Worldwide.
Yeah, they're a luxury real estate agency that's been deeply involved in the Phuket market since, what, 2004, so they've seen it all.
And that experience is just immense. Their director, Sandra O'Neill, has spent decades guiding thousands of families and investors through these exact north versus south choices. So our mission today isn't just a travelogue, it's a deep dive into the local market, the lifestyle, helping you figure out which Phuket actually delivers on your goals.
Absolutely. The core conflict, it's not just geographical, it's economic, it's cultural. It's a choice between two entirely distinct vibes and, crucially, two very different value propositions.
And that's what dictates your lifestyle and your long-term returns. So where should we start? The atmosphere.
Let's start with a vibe check.
Okay, let's start with the north, because I think this represents that traditional vision of tropical escapism.
It does.
When people talk about quiet beaches, wide open spaces, a really chilled out atmosphere, they're talking about places like Nha Nhang and Mai Khao, right? This is seclusion.
It is seclusion defined. It's a very deliberate choice for unwinding and for, well, for luxury. The North benefits hugely from its proximity to the Serenaut National Park.
Oh.
And that imposes natural limits on high-rise development, which preserves the sight lines, the natural coastline. You go there to get away from the noise.
And there's a huge practical element too, which I know Sandra O'Neill from Ocean Worldwide really emphasizes, the airport.
The airport, yes. It's right there. For international investors or, long-term expats who travel a lot, quick arrivals and departures are a massive, non-negotiable quality of life factor.
That makes perfect sense for a high-end international crowd. But here's my question. If the North is defined by this space and serenity, how does that hold up against development, especially in areas like Cherm Talay, which we know are expanding fast? Does that serenity have an expiration date?
That's a critical question. And while the North is developing, the nature of the development is fundamentally different.
How so?
It's focused on large, low-density, luxury villas, integrated resort communities. The whole point is prioritizing privacy and space over high-volume tourism. The developers are basically creating bubbles of luxury to keep that exclusive, calm atmosphere. Got it. Okay, now let's pivot hard to the south. This is where the energy is just, you can feel it. It's almost overwhelming. If you want to be in the thick of it, the shops, the nightlife, the endless activity, you're heading to Patong, Coron, and Kaida. This is the island's engine room.
It is. The South is convenience and variety personified. I mean, it's matured over decades into a global tourist destination. Everything you could possibly need is right there.
Tour operators, amazing food.
International dining, huge shopping centers. The energy is 24/7, but. And this is where we have to be brutally honest. There is a cost to that vibrancy.
Which is?
Traffic. During peak season, the sheer volume of visitors means traffic on Patong Beach Road or around Shillong Circle can become a legitimate soul-crushing headache.
Right.
It can add a huge amount of time to even a short trip. So if your daily life depends on moving around the island quickly, the South is a serious logistical challenge that the North, for the most part, avoids. So the core difference is really this. Do you prioritize a serene environment where your leisure is a deliberate, protected escape? That's the north.
Yes.
Or do you want a vibrant, sometimes chaotic environment where leisure is just an integrated, immediate part of your daily life? That's the south. It's tranquility versus immersion.
It's the perfect way to put it. And this contrast, it really crystallizes when you look at who is actually moving to Phuket for the long term. Let's take families, for example, a huge segment for Ocean Worldwide.
Okay, yeah. Traditionally, the South seemed like the obvious choice for families. You've got the big supermarkets, organized tourist activities, some calmer beaches.
The convenience factor.
Exactly. Everything's a 5-minute scooter right away.
But that dynamic is shifting. and it's being driven by international education.
Oh, interesting.
The North is increasingly dominating the market for wealthy expat families purely because of the concentration of premium international schools. When Sandra O'Neill works with families who are relocating long-term, the North's proximity to schools like UWC Thailand is often the deciding factor.
Wow, that is a huge piece of intel. So you're saying the presence of top-tier schools is actively pulling high-net-worth families to build their lives in the North, even if it's further from the main tourist hubs?
Absolutely. The decision for long-term residency so often hinges on education. The North provides the space, the privacy, the security inside these family-oriented gated communities, and at the same time offers world-class schooling that the congested South just struggles to accommodate.
Yeah, there's no space for huge new school campuses down there.
Exactly.
Okay, what about another group? Digital nomads and expats who aren't tied to a school run, but, you know, they need good internet and a community.
Well, the North, specifically areas around Cherngtale and Laguna, has quietly become this premier digital nomad hub.
Really?
Yeah. It offers that laid-back pace that's, you know, conducive to deep focus during work hours. It's got excellent fiber internet and a growing scene of co-working spaces and really high-quality cafes. It's for the nomad who wants to concentrate and then maybe have a quiet sunset cocktail.
And the South?
The South is for the social butterfly nomad, the one who wants endless, immediate social and dining options the second they log off.
Right, the work hard, play hard type.
If your work relies on networking, or you just thrive on that constant action and easy access to nightlife, the South gives you that. It's high energy, but, you know, maybe less good for deep work because of all the distractions.
Okay, this is making a lot of sense. But when we shift from lifestyle to hard investment, this whole North-South split is no longer just about preference. It's about strategy, right?
Exactly.
It's about, do you want quick cash flow or are you playing the long game for capital appreciation?
Precisely. For the short-term rental market.
Yeah.
So quick income, high yields. The South has an undeniable advantage.
Just more people.
Way more tourist footfall. The demand to be near the action in Patong, Caron, and Cayta means higher occupancy rates. Mm. We see some properties in the South, especially high-quality modern condos near the beach, getting peak season rental yields of like 8 to 10%.
That's a huge lure. That immediate cash flow is massive. But that seems to imply that the South is kind of tapped out in terms of growth potential.
And that's the strategic counterpoint. This is what's so fascinating. The North is where you find the long-term growth story. Buyers focused on capital appreciation are flocking there.
Why?
Because the South is already so developed. Land scarcity is a massive issue, which drives up the initial cost to buy land, and it severely limits the scope for any major new developments.
So the ceiling for capital appreciation in the South is just, it's lower because it's already built up, it's expensive, and you've got zoning constraints.
Exactly. The North, on the other hand, still has larger available land banks. Areas like Cherngtale are seeing property values climb steadily, often averaging 5% appreciation a year.
And what's driving that?
Big long-term infrastructure projects, new luxury resorts, lifestyle amenities like the Blue Tree Water Park area. These are all signs of a maturing, upwardly mobile market.
And the North also has that very specific high-end buyer niche.
It's a magnet for high net worth individuals.
Yeah.
People who aren't necessarily looking for rental income. They want exclusivity and space. They're looking for huge plots of land to build custom impressive villas.
I see.
And that demand for prestige and high quality gated communities, it drives up prices in those specific northern spots, really cementing the North as the destination for luxury and long-term private living. And it often outpaces the growth rates of standard tourist spots in the South.
Let's get into the actual properties. If I put down, say, the same amount of capital in both places, what am I getting in the North versus the South?
Okay. In North Phuket, you are buying space and quality of life. Hmm. The defining properties are large luxury villas, often on these spacious plots inside secure gated communities.
Hmm.
The focus is privacy, comfort, state-of-the-art modern living. And you have way more availability of larger land plots for custom builds, so the buyer can really dictate the style and features.
So the value proposition in the North is all about lifestyle, it's about space, and creating this like comfortable, bespoke, long-term home.
Correct. Now contrast that with the South. The market there is incredibly dense, it's very diverse, but it's heavily geared toward short-term rental capacity.
So smaller units.
Much smaller. You'll find everything from, you know, modern beachfront condos, think 40 to 60 square meters to smaller villas in high-density complexes with shared pools, guest houses, service departments.
So in the South, you're basically paying a massive premium for proximity. For being close to the beach and the action, you're trading a big garden and privacy for being a stone's throw from the nightlife.
That's it.
It's an immediate access valuation, not a space valuation.
That is the key distinction. If you want a brand new, detached, four-bedroom villa with a big private pool, mm-hmm. you are far more likely to find better value and more available land in the North.
And if I want a modern condo with a spectacular view right across from Patong Beach,
you're going south. And you will pay for that convenience and that short-term rehabilitation.
Okay, beyond the purchase price, what about the cost of daily life? That's a huge deal for anyone thinking about moving or even a long stay. Does the luxury north automatically mean a higher cost of living?
Surprisingly, no. Not for everyday life.
Really?
Generally, the north is more budget-friendly. It still has a more local feel once you're away from the immediate tourist strips. Everyday costs, local groceries, a meal at a Thai restaurant, basic services are typically lower. Long-term residents can often stretch their bat a lot further there.
And the South is the opposite.
The South, being the major international tourist engine, just has higher costs across the board. You're surrounded by restaurants, catering to international tastes, international supermarkets, higher service costs. And the accommodation, whether you buy or rent, starts at a higher price just based on the land value.
It feels like this constant, unavoidable trade-off. For the same money, you're choosing between more physical space, lower daily costs, and privacy in the north, versus the immediate access, the convenience, and those higher short-term rental yields in the south.
That's the heart of the decision right there. Now, we should quickly talk transport, which is tied to all this. The north, we said, has that undeniable airport advantage. But for daily movement, the south is the bigger challenge.
We mentioned traffic, but can we clarify the local transport options?
Yeah, Phuket is big, and you need to understand the costs. The local system uses Songtos. They're like fixed route local buses.
Okay.
They're cheap, but they're slow and their routes are limited. Then you have the tuk-tuks, which are basically private taxis.
And I hear they can be expensive.
In the crowded southern areas, they are everywhere. But the price is often highly negotiable and can be really expensive, which can inflate your daily travel costs a lot. Using a ride-hailing app like Grab helps, but it can't bypass the peak season gridlock in the south.
Right. And finally, we have to talk about seasonality, especially for anyone thinking about rental income.
Yes. For long-term living and just quiet exploration in the north, that cooler, dry spell from late October to February is perfect.
Beautiful weather.
But for the south, November to April is peak season. And while that means the best beach weather and the most action, it also means maximum crowds. And that's precisely why that window is the optimal, highest yield period for short-term rentals in the South.
Okay, so let's try and tie all this together.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the choice for you, the listener, it really depends on which set of trade-offs you want to prioritize.
Right.
Do you want peace, space, luxury, access to those international schools, and long-term capital appreciation? Then the North is calling. Or do you prefer excitement, immediate convenience, high action, and fast short-term rental income from mass tourism? Then the South is your winner.
But the beauty of Phuket is its size, isn't it? You don't actually have to choose just one reality. I know many of the families and investors that Ocean Worldwide guides often choose a split stay.
A very popular option.
Or a phased investment. They might start with the North for a stable home base and then just use the South for high-energy weekends. They get the best of both worlds.
It's a pragmatic and, you know, very smart solution.
Before we wrap up, here's a final provocative thought that builds on everything we've talked about with development and land scarcity.
Yeah.
Given the intense high-density coastal development that's already cemented in the South and the newer, more spacious plots in the North built to higher, more modern environmental standards, how might future climate shifts and coastal vulnerabilities affect the long-term investment viability of those southern coastal properties compared to the newer, more managed, and less dense communities in the north? It's a critical thought for anyone thinking about generational wealth.
That's a question every serious investor really needs to grapple with. And remember, all of these detailed market insights specific to luxury villas and market dynamics, they come directly from Ocean Worldwide, led by Sandra O'Neill, who has dedicated years to mastering this dynamic market.
To explore property listings, review those international school catchment areas, and access further market insights that can guide your specific investment strategy, visit oceanwwp.com. That's oceanwwp.com. We appreciate you diving in with us today.